Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from Daf Kuf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our Gemara today, from the third line, from the top of Daf Kuf Samach Aleph, Omed Aleph, we notice a geometric form. It's also noted that this is a second of the bowtie forms, because the series that this represents started on the previous Omed. The sugya is discussing where do witnesses sign on a get mekushar. We saw last time Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiya bar Abba offer their positions with regard to this question. When we presented the bowties on the previous Amud, we noted that the Gemara at this point is asking questions on these two opinions and with regard to their recommendations where the witnesses sign. And at this point in the Gemara is focusing on the second opinion, that of Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. Let us start the Gemara. Ulu Rav Yirmiya bar Abba di Omar achirei haksav ukeneged haksav mibachutz. According to Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, that the witnesses signed on the obverse side of the get mekushar, opposite the point at which the writing appears on the body of the shtar. Simply, you flip over the document and the witnesses sign on as what we term the obverse side. At this point, we have noticed the double underline with the dots in it. This we also referred to in our previous shiur, that this was an attempt to emphasize each one of their opinions. We did the same on the previous Amud, where the expression Bein Kesher LeKesher Me'evroi has a similar marking. We now encounter the triangles again. We presented them in our previous shiur. Just like last time, these triangles were introducing questions, or more accurately, points of concern, that if you adopt this particular approach, could there not arise certain problems? So here too, just like we did the same exercise with regard to Rav Huna Shita and raise several questions of this nature, we'll do the same now with Rav Yirmiya bar Abba. According to Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, that the signatories appear on the obverse side, opposite the area where the writing appears on the flip side of the shtar, in the body of the shtar. Could you not have the following problematic scenario arising? A fellow who's interested in foul play arranges for a number of witnesses to sign on the flip side of the shtar, namely row after row of witnesses, and the signing would continue beyond a point on the document where on the other side the writing appears. In other words, after signing these extra witnesses, so to speak, where the last of them appeared lower down on the document, when if you were to flip it over to the document side, to the shtar side, you'll notice that the area where the witnesses appear on the flip side is blank, so that this fellow could actually add a few lines of great benefit to him, to himself, and then say, hey, I have a shtar that's signed with witnesses on the other side corresponding to the entire writing. As far as having witnesses sign beyond the point where there is writing, he'll tell them a story. He'll tell them simply, I want to have numerous witnesses on my document. We now read this in the Gemara. So according to Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Lechush Dilma Kosiv Migavoi Maideboi, let us suspect that the one preparing this document will write on the inside of the document whatever he wants. Umachtim Sadi Yiseri Me'avroi, and he will have prepared extra witnesses to sign on the outside of the document, namely on the obverse side. The Omar, and he'll explain to the witnesses when he's having them sign beyond the writing on the other side, and tell them, Ano the rabbi is pi'edim hu de'avdi. I'm interested in having a lot of witnesses, and as the Rashbam says, I want this shtar to be well known in order to gain public awareness and increase the advertising aspect of this document. One accomplishes that by having more witnesses. The more, the better. So Rav Chisda answers this question, the question that was essentially posed by Rami Bar Chamo. We saw Rami Bar Chamo on the previous Omid raising these questions to Rav Chisda. So here Rav Chisda answers, Omar Lei, Mi Savris Eidim Kisidron Chasimi, is one to suggest that the witnesses sign Kisidron, meaning one after the other in the same direction as the writing appears on the flip side of the document. That's not the case. Eidim Mimato Lemalo Chasimi. When the witnesses sign the document, the three witnesses that are necessary for this type of get, the get mekushar, they sign on the flip side of the document, on the back side of the document, in a perpendicular fashion, namely perpendicular to the direction in which the writing appears on the shtar side of the document. We've offered an illustration of this in the margin of the Gemara, where we featured the Tzad Shel Shtar with squiggle lines representing the writing of the document. We've also indicated where the last line of the Shtar is. And then, if you flip over that paper, flip over the Shtar, and then reposition it in a perpendicular fashion, you would then have the witnesses sign, as we've indicated, some names, and the beginning of those names would appear opposite the last line of the document. Hence, there is no room in this, according to this suggestion, to add more lines on the shtar side of it, because if he does, those added lines will not be opposite where the names of the witnesses appear on the signing side, on the obverse side. However, the Gemara raises more doubts. V'lechush dilmo misrami reusa b'shito achrona. Could we not suspect that maybe there is a reyusa, a condition in the shtar that works to the disadvantage of the fellow preparing the shtar, In other words, there's a condition that was written in, that was written into this shtar, that does not work to his advantage. The gayez lay l'shita achrona, and he would cut off the last line of the shtar in which this negative clause appears. The gayez lay l'reuven behadei, and he would thereby, in effect, be cutting off the name of the one that signed on the flip side. Umiskasher beven yankiv aid, and still the document would be kosher with the continuation of the name, in other words, with that which is left as far as the signing is concerned, where it would say simply ben yankiv aid disnan. And a Tanaic source, as you can see, we've provided that in a frame in the marking system. Tanaic sources appear in frames. It says ben ish ploini aid kosher, that if one signs a document as such, using his father's name and him referring to himself simply as son of so and so, signs as a witness, that that's acceptable. So the Gemara answers that the way Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba anticipates the signing taking place is as follows. Dichtiv Reuven ben Bechad Dora, that the expression Reuven ben appears in one row. Feyankiv Eid Iluva, and above it would appear the expression Yankiv Eid. In other words, you have the fellow signing Reuven ben Yankiv Eid. However, he does it in this fashion, splitting the Reuven ben and putting that in on one row, so to speak, and Yankiv Eid in the other row. We've provided an illustration of this that accompanies the Rashbam on the lower part of the page. There you have a little diagram where you see Reuven ben in one row and Yankiv Eid in the next row. It's referred to in the Gemara as above because, as far as the writing of the shtar is concerned, the Reuven ben expression is opposite the shita achrona, the bottom line on the shtar side. So if Reuven ben is keneged, is opposite the bottom line, so we would say Yankiv Eid is positioned opposite that which is above, which is higher up on the writing side of the shtar. The Gemara asks, but even if you make this provision, there still is room for concern. Valechush Dilma Gayez Lei L'Reuven Ben. Is there not room to suspect that maybe he'll cut off the lower part of the shtar where there is something negative to himself, and by cutting it off thereby save himself from trouble? And true, he's cutting off at the same time Reuven ben, which is on the signed side of the document opposite that lower the lower section of the shtar, and still it'll be kosher umiskasher beyankiv eid, and it will be kosher with the words yankiv eid, and people will say that Yankiv himself signed the shtar, disnan. And there's a Tanaic source that allows for such a signing to take place. Disnan, ish ploini aid kosher. If someone signs his name without his father's name, just Yankiv aid, that'll be okay. So the Gemara answers, when we recommended signing the shtar, namely Reuven ben Yankiv, leave out the word aid, deloksiv aid, so that if you leave that out, the fellow, if he tries to cut off the last line, he'll be cutting off the part of the signing that says Reuven ben, and he'll be left with, on the signed side, just the word or the name Yankiv. And that won't be acceptable. The Iboy Esema, a second approach, L'Olam de Kosav Aid, that it does say Yankov Eid, and that's what remains. However, there's nothing to fear yet, because who is signing this? Let's not forget, it's Reuven, the son of Yankov, that's signing the document. And if he cuts off his name, Reuven Ben, and you leave just Yankov Eid, people know the Adinon Ba, the Ha, Chasimois Yodo, Lav, the Yankov Hu. People know that this signature is not that of Yankov. So as such, there is, once again, nothing to fear if he attempts to cut off the bottom line of the shtar, leaving just the signing Yankov Eid. But are there not other rooms for suspicion? V'dilma b'shmei d'avua chasam. True, it's not Yankov's signature, but it could be recognized as the handwriting of Reuven, and he's simply using his father's name as his own signature. The Gemara says people would never do that. Lo shovik inish shmei didei v'chosim b'shmei d'avua. People would not avoid using their own names and use their father's name to sign a document. Is there not room for another suspicion? V'dilma simona be'almahu d'shavya. It may be he used the word Yankov not as a name per se, but as an imprimatur, as a simple design, as his method of signing. In other words, Reuven adopted as his emblem, so to speak, the letters Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vav, that they happen to spell out a name, but for our purposes, he's using his father's name as an emblem, so to speak. And the idea of having signings, signatures, in the form of emblems is something that is quite common, and the Gemara proceeds to illustrate that with a number of examples. In fact, we've numbered off 5 examples that illustrate this. Deha Rav Tzir Kavra. When Rav would sign a document, he would make an image of a fish. Rav Chanina Tzir Charusa. Rav Chanina would use as his emblem a branch of a palm tree. Rav Chista Samach. Rav Chista would sign a document using the letter Samach from his name Chista. Rav Hoshaya Ayin, and Rav Hoshaya would sign his documents with the letter Ayin. Rabo Bar Ravuna Makusa, and Rabo Bar Ravuna would make an image of a ship mast. As you see, signatures don't necessarily appear as full names. We just had a list of 5 examples of legitimate signatures that are not, in fact, a name. So the question arises, is it not possible that Reuven Ben Yankov legitimately signed the document, or it will certainly appear legitimate, even though he cut off the last line of the document, cutting off the expression or the part of his name where it said Reuven Ben, serving himself that way by eliminating the last line of the shtar, which was negative to him, leaving the expression Yankov Eid, and that still could be a legitimate signature. As we just saw, people use all kinds of forms, and he, this Reuven fellow, used his father's name as an emblem. The Gemara answers, Lo chotzef inish l'shavya l'shmei davua simona. A person would not have such chutzpah to use his father's name as an emblem. Marzutra Omar. Mazutra enters the sugya addressing the method of signing as suggested by Rav Yirmir Ba'aba, and says that we can use his method of signing, namely in a perpendicular fashion to the position of the writing, and avoid all of the problems that we presented in the course of the sugya by simply giving the following instructions. Lama Omar Marzutra Omar Lama Loch Kulehai. Why do we have to offer all of these what are referred to as Shinuye Dechiki, difficult approaches to explain Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba? Very simply, Kol Mekushar She'ein Edov Kolin Beshita Achas Posel. Any get Mekushar which requires the signatures to appear on the opposite side of the document, all of those signatures must begin and end at the same point. Namely, the signatures on the obverse side, running perpendicular to the writing in the body of the shtar, must be aligned one on top of the other, beginning and ending at the same point. And hence, there is no room for foul play as we suggested before. In other words, if he cuts off a line of the shtar, it will be immediately noticeable on the signed side that something wrong took place. At this point, we present a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is of a new nature. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading that appears in the outside margin, the Nosei. Tzorach lachzor me'inyonoi shel shtar b'shita achroina. The Gemara will talk about the necessity of reviewing in the last line of the shtar information that appeared earlier. Mishum she'ein b'meidim mishita achrona. Because we are instructed not to learn anything new from the last line of the shtar. The Gemara inside. Omar of Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omar of Yochanan. Point one. Kol hamechakin kulan. All erasures that took place in the shtar. Tzorech shiichtoiv. There has to be confirmation of this at the end of the shtar, v'dein kiyumehon. And this is their establishment. Namely, this is their verification that if some erasure took place in the shtar, at the end of the shtar, there must be a verification that on such and such line, an erasure took place. Point number two, v'tzorech shiyachzor mi'inyonoi shel shtar b'shita achroina. The last line of the document must contain information that was already spelled out earlier in the shtar. My taima, what is the reason for this? Omar Rav Amram, l'fi she'ein l'meidin mi'shita achrona. Because we do not learn any new information from the last line. Hence, if the last line had some new information that didn't appear earlier, in other words, some type of condition or clause that didn't appear earlier, and we're instructed not to learn from the last line, then it could be that the deal or whatever issue the document concerned would be fulfilled, would be executed in a way that was not intended by those preparing the shtar. Therefore, since we don't learn from the last line of the shtar, we're telling you, do not write anything, any important clauses in that last line. Hence, we say, whatever you write on the last line should be information that we already knew about from the body of the shtar. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.